And I'm honored to be able to speak. I'm a preacher first. I'm not sure I'm much of a singer anymore. Did we explode? Are we here? Yes, sir. If everybody's good, I'm good. I won't move. We'll stay right here. And but I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for the chance and opportunity to preach, Brother Walsh. And I want you to get your Bibles now. Turn to Revelation 22. But I thought I better not even try that one. I'm just going to say, like John said, there comes one after me whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. And he'll be preaching next. And so I'll get up and get out of the way and long so we can enjoy Brother Paulie. And I enjoy hearing Brother Paulie preach, one of my dear friends. Did you know that? Okay. And I have some other friends here, Aaron and Beth Hartman from Boonesboro, Maryland. We've known you guys for a long time. They've come to camp faithfully for 20 years, probably at least. And I texted him, said, if we're going to be up in the air, he said, I'll try to. Can I just change the microphone? I'm not going to stand still long enough to do that. And, well, it's just me. You really don't want me to speak today, do you? I think that's what you want me to just get out of the way, and I understand. I'm used to this. And I had a sermon already, and you ruined it last night. And it wasn't in Revelation, but it was along the same lines. And I got back to the room, and I was praying and studying and panicking and thinking, now, hold on, should I preach the same? No two people preach alike. And I knew it wasn't going to be an issue with that. But I went to bed convinced I was going to preach it anyhow, stubbornly, you know. And about 6 o'clock, the Lord woke me up this morning, and he does that occasionally. And I had a verse on my mind. I'd considered it yesterday when I decided to go the different direction. And so I just got up, and this is a holy place. I went and sat on the commode, closed, and began to study. Didn't want to wake my wife up. We had two of the grandchildren staying in our room. So I went, and God gave me what I'm going to give you this morning about 6 o'clock. And I hope it's a blessing to you. 1 Corinthians, I say chapter 10? It's close. It's somewhere in there. I love the book of Corinthians. I love the author. Of course, the Holy Spirit wrote it, but he used a man named Paul to write it. And Paul's an interesting character. I'm excited about going to heaven for a lot of reasons. I want to see the Lord. I've been reminded of that this week. I want to see family that I have there. And I want to see this little short guy. I want to sit down and just spend some time with him, a few hundred years, and ask him some questions. I told somebody, I hope when I get to heaven there's DVRs up there. I want to see it. I want to see what it was like on the road to Damascus. And I want to see what it was like standing before Agrippa and so forth. But this morning he's writing in chapter 10. And I was just reading the whole chapter, read several passages here around it. Let me just start reading verse 1. I wasn't going to read the whole thing, but I think I will. I won't be long today. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. I heard one preacher say that's the largest denomination in the world is ignorant brethren. How that all our fathers were under the cloud, he's talking about in the wilderness, the children of Israel, all passed under the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All did eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. I don't want that said of me to you. For they were overthrown in the wilderness, judged. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Well, Father, thank you now for another opportunity to open your word. I pray that as I do so, as we do so, that you'd empty me of self and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Forgive me of any sin in my life that could hinder that. And for a few minutes, give me the attention of everyone that's here. I pray you'd speak to my heart first, then to the hearts of others that are here this morning. And I pray this will be something that would encourage us and something that would help us as we live the rest of this day and days to come. I pray that we would live in light of what we're going to hear this morning. Bless Brother Paulie as he comes in a little bit to bring the message. I pray you'd be with us all. In Christ's name, amen. I was studying this chapter this morning in the bathroom, and it makes a nice counter right there to write on. Anyway, and I just looked at the chapter, and I realized, and you can see it's real simple, that first four verses, God's reminding Israel of everything he's done for them. And boy, didn't he take care of his people in the wilderness, on their way to the promised land. He had to judge them, but he took care of them. Verses 5 and 6 talk about the fact that in spite of everything that God did for them, the way they behaved caused God to be displeased with them, and he had to judge them. In verses 7 through 10, he gives us a warning, and he gives a warning to the Corinthians against idolatry, anything that comes between you and God. God's not pleased with that. He gives us a warning about immorality, any type of sexual sin. You can think of it, that word fornication covers it. He gives us a warning about tempting Christ. That's a phrase we don't use a lot. It means pushing Christ too far. We tempt him with our lives. We sometimes tempt him with our lips. The way we live, we live in such a way that there's no repercussions for our actions. And we're just tempting God. I don't know if your parents were like mine. My mom would sometimes say, "Don't push me." And my mom would, she would speak, and she was consistent with that. And then she'd give me that look. That look was deadly. How many of you had a mom like that or a dad? And how many had a mom or dad would just clear their throat and it would send shivers all over you? I'd be in church and I'd hear, I'd melt. Well, that's pushing a little too far. And then he talks, and boy, here's many of us. I'm talking to me and my hands up. In verse number 10, he warns us about murmuring and complaining. You know, the truth is, we don't have very much to complain about, do we? Number one, we live in America. We can't complain about it. You say, "Well, I don't like everything." Look, I don't like everything about me, much less everything about the country. We can't complain about that. We have a Bible. Think about the people that don't have a Bible. I was thinking, Brother Paul, last night you were preaching about the people who haven't heard. I'm told we live on a planet today that has about 7.7 billion people, and two-thirds of those people have never, not just heard the gospel, they've never heard the name Jesus. They don't know. You do understand that if they die in that condition, they die and go to hell. That puts a responsibility on us. God let us hear the gospel. I was brought up in church, godly mom and dad, great pastor growing up, and a great church. And I heard it from the time I can remember, the gospel. I have nothing to complain about. God's given me health. God's given me a family. What do I have to complain about? Yet we do it, don't we? We murmur and we gripe and we complain. And God warned his people and he warns us about that. Then verse 11 and 12, he gives the reason for it all. It's for an example. It's for our admonition. God says, here's why I want you to know what happened to my people Israel, because if you do the same thing is going to happen to you. Don't think you'll get by with it or get away with it. You can't live in sin without paying a penalty for it, without paying a price. And then verse 13, 14, 15, I think, is the application of this message he gives. And I want to narrow down and pinpoint today one verse in this passage that speaks to my heart every time I read it, and that's verse number 13. Can we read it again? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you. An old English word means allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Three things in that verse I want to give you today. First of all, I want to suggest there's a common problem. That problem's temptation. Now here comes the understanding. The word temptation can mean one of two things in Scripture. It can mean what you think it normally does, a solicitation to do evil. I was tempted. Are you old enough to remember the comedian Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it, you know. And that's what temptation is. By the way, it's really not the devil, it's our flesh normally. The devil, I'm not sure the devil's ever confronted me, but I confront myself more than I want to. But we're tempted. We see something. It's called lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Same things he pulled on Eve in the garden, same things the devil pulled on him in Matthew chapter 4 as he's being tempted. That's what most of the time the word means. And it can mean that here. Some commentators think it does mean that here, that we're tempted to do wrong. Sometimes the word temptation can mean troubling times or difficulties. Think about the man Job in the Old Testament. Job was tested. That's a meaning of the word temptation. He was put in the millstone. He was ground like wheat. God was teaching him things. And normally, in fact, not normally, every time temptation comes in our life, God has a purpose for it. God's not a bully waiting to slap us when we get out of line. He's doing it for a reason. He's trying to grow us, trying to help us become more like His Son. We all have that. Do you see what the Scripture said? No temptation's ever come upon you. I put it in my own words, that all of us haven't gone through it. Any kind of lust you can imagine, we've all been through it. Any kind of difficult time that we go through, seated in this room are other people who have experienced, if not the exact same thing, something very similar. So could we just get as foundational ground, lay down the fact that we're all in this thing together? And this verse applies to every one of us, whichever way you want to interpret it. If you think it means, and it probably does in this text, means evil that comes in our lives because of falling to what the flesh asks us to do, the temptation, then this is true of all of us. Everyone in this room is tempted, I'd say tempted daily by the flesh. And we're all going through situations that maybe is not pleasant, something we didn't ask for. We could all have a pity party right now, couldn't we? I could pass this microphone around and let everybody talk, and we'd all be crying after about 10 minutes of somebody else's problems. Our problems aren't really as bad as we think they are sometimes. I have diabetes. How many of you have diabetes? Okay, you understand. When I talk about low blood sugar, you've probably been there. I have heart problems. 7.5 years ago, I died in the middle of the night. I had cardiac arrest. And my wife woke up and started CPR, and here I am. So I can relate to that. I've had cancer, had prostate cancer. And so I know what that, hearing that C word is like when the doctor says, I'm really shocked that this came out this way, but you have cancer. And all of us go through stuff. And by the way, could I just say this, that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, under the Holy Spirit inspiration, says that we do that and we go through things so that somewhere down the road of life we can be a blessing to somebody else. We can help somebody else. Don't ever get over the fact that God's mean to me and God hasn't done me fairly. God's a fair God and God's gracious to all of us. There's a common problem that we all have. We've all been tempted. We've all gone through struggles and situations that we don't want anybody even to know about some of them. A common problem. But I love this next part. There's a consistent presence. Notice what he said. No temptations ever come in your life. I'm paraphrasing. That's not common to everybody. Here it is. But God is faithful. Forget everything else I say today. Forget every song we sing. Forget everything Brother Paulie says. Walk out of here with, if nothing else, walk out of here with the understanding that God is faithful. God will never let you down. He will not disappoint you. It may not go the way you intended for it to go. It may not work out the way you think it should, but God is faithful. It's consistent. Not a one of us can sit here and say, God's been unfair to me. Not a one of us. You say, Brother Tim, you don't understand. My family broke up and my mate left me. God is faithful. But you don't understand the physical problems that I have. God is faithful. My children have gone astray. Would you understand that God's faithful? My parents left and split up. And as a young person, I'm growing up in a single parent home. Can I remind you kids, God's faithful. God's not the author of confusion. God doesn't cause circumstances to happen, but he knows about it, and he's always there. God is faithful. Don't forget it. Can we say it together just to get used to it coming over our lips? Ready? Go. God is faithful. Don't ever forget that. A consistent presence. Look at the rest of that little phrase. No temptation has ever come over you. I'm paraphrasing again, but such as everybody goes through it. But God is faithful, and I'm paraphrasing again, who will not allow you to be tested above that you're able. Do you understand that God will never put on you more than what you can handle? Now, I know you handle it with him. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Had a young man sit in my office one day, and he'd been through some things, and he had been molested by an uncle. He had been molested by an uncle. And he was talking about it and weeping and pouring his heart out. He said, Brother Tim, he said, it's just, I can't handle it. I said, yes, you can. And I read him this verse. He will not put more on you than with his help you can handle it. I don't know what you're facing today. You may think, I can't go another day. This is it. I've come to the end of my rope, and I'm just hanging here. But I'm going to tell you, number one, God's faithful. Number two, he'll get you through it. You don't have to live in defeat. He will never put more on you than what you can handle. You know what I told that guy? I don't know if this is biblical or not, but it sounded good at the time. I said, and I called his name. I won't call it now. I said, listen. I said, do you realize that when you have troubling times like this, maybe God is trusting you more than he trusts other people. God is trusting you in the fact that you can handle this. I told him, I said, I'm not sure I could handle what you've been through. I'm not sure I would keep my sanity and would be upright right now if I had to go through what you went through. But the fact that God put you through it perhaps just means that God has entrusted you with a situation that whereby, as I said, 2 Corinthians, you're going to be able to help somebody else down the road. I could not relate to him. I've never been molested. Well, by a few junior high kids, but other than that, I've never been through that. But God allowed him to go through it. And by the way, he came out all right. Well, kind of. You have to know the kid. And I could call his name. My family would know who I'm talking about. But he came through it. And that's encouraging to me. By the way, the purpose of this message is hopefully you walk out of here encouraged. But you know, it's not as bad as I thought it was. And I see what God did with others who didn't listen and who disobeyed and who murmured and were immoral. And I don't want God to be displeased with me, so I'm gonna act right. And I'm going to believe that God is faithful to get me through whatever it is that comes my way. We've been through a pandemic. We're in a pandemic. I guess we're in it still. Yeah. My pastor told me, he said, you know, the pandemic is not a good time to go into evangelism. I resigned from my church a year ago last week. And we just kind of decided, as I won't do this for a long time with my family, and didn't really have the faith or the guts to do it. And once I resigned, I said, all right, God, this is it. I'm going to trust you. And meetings started coming in, and I was excited. I was encouraged. I remember on Sunday, March the 1st, I preached in Lexington, North Carolina, and we had a wonderful day, and the family sang, and a day and a night, and then whammo. That was it for the next 3 or 4 months. Everything canceled. We were scheduled to be in Florida, in Alabama, in West Virginia. They even have church in West Virginia. And all in Virginia, and in, of course, this was already scheduled. And suddenly, nothing. We had some services from our home that we put on Facebook, and we did some music for a church at Easter, and we had a couple of services where we'd have from our living room. I like that living room church, I'm going to tell you. You know, you get too used to that, I think. We'd get up and put our clothes on, just go in front of the, stand in front of the fireplace and preach. I like that. And I'm telling you, God's faithful. He'll not put on you more than what you can handle. Can I stand here and tell you that every bill's been paid, every need's been met, and God's taking care of us? There's a consistent presence of the Lord. A common problem, a consistent presence. And notice lastly, a comforting promise. He said in the last part of the verse, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to enjoy it. Is that what he said? You may be able to bear it. It means endure. By the way, that idea, will with the temptation, has the idea of railroad tracks running, you know, side by side. Right alongside the temptation is always an escape. If you take this word temptation to mean a solicitation to do evil, I'm going to suggest to you that there is always a moment before you succumb to the temptation that you know exactly what you ought to do. There's always a window you can jump back through it and avoid the temptation if you'll rely and listen to the Holy Spirit. If you take it as a difficult time, could I say that there's always someone or something that'll come alongside you and encourage you and lift you. And of course, the Lord's always there. It's a comforting promise. There's always a way to escape. I love what it says, alongside, that you'll be able to bear it. The word it bear, I've already said, means endure it. You don't enjoy it. You don't like it. You have to sometimes grit your teeth. But he'll let you get through it regardless of what you think ought to be done. Endurance. We're told in Scripture, throughout Scripture, that this thing called the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon run. You don't start out today and have all the answers tomorrow. All of us are at different places in our spiritual growth and in our relationship with the Lord. And as we yield to the Spirit of God, He teaches us, and other people do, and circumstances come and give us examples and illustrations. But the bottom line is that there are some things in life. Well, what did Paul tell Timothy? Endure hardness as a good soldier. Good soldiers don't quit when it gets difficult, do they? I was involved in athletics all of my adult life. I never made a team. You can look at me and tell why. I tell people when I run, you time me with a calendar, not with a clock. But I did coach. I coached basketball for 31 years. And I learned in coaching that sometimes some people can handle pressure and some can't. And you try to help them and instruct them and encourage them and push them and motivate them to handle pressure better the next time. But there are sometimes you just got to, you know, swallow hard and keep going. You got to endure when you're tired. You got to persevere when you're winded. Brother Paul, you're a runner. I have run before to the buffet line. And I used to run till my legs got to where I can't really handle it now. I had a friend of mine who I graduated from high school with. We used to talk about it. He called me Hicks. He said, Hicks, I'm telling you, you can get, maybe you've done this, you can get to, in running, you can get to a place where it's almost a religious experience. I never got there. I'd get on the treadmill and I'd puff and pant, count back the clock, how long have I got left to run, you know. I never enjoyed it, never liked it. I did enjoy the benefits of it. I wish I could do more of it now. You say you could, and I say shut up. And in Jesus' name. But the truth is, there's some things you've just got to endure. Living in a single parent home is not fun. I never had to do it. But I've talked to enough who have to know that you just got to swallow hard and keep going. Put one foot in front of the other and just keep on serving. When it comes to the ministry, you just got to put one foot in front of the other and just keep going. Keep riding down the road. Keep getting on airplanes. Keep going where the Lord leads you. Keep running buses. Keep giving out. Just keep doing it. Repetition's important in getting through difficulties. I don't know if there's anything there this morning, but that's what the Lord gave me on the commode. That's awful. I can't say that in public. I guess I just did. But that's what He gave me this morning. We're all going through the same situations. None of us are different in that regard. But God's presence is always there. I can never run away from the presence of God. Where can I flee? If I go to the lowest depths, He's there. If I go to heaven, He's there. Wherever, He's always there. And I'm thankful for that. And then I'm glad for His promise. There's always a way out. May not be the way you thought about, but it's always a way out. Let these words encourage you today. And when you go through difficulties, whether it's sin or whether it's hard times, just realize it's not the end of it. There's more to come. Father, I pray that You would bless us now as we continue through the day. I pray that You'd speak to hearts. I ask You to speak to my heart during the next message, and I pray that You'd help us to go on through the day and love us and help us to love You more. Give us what we need now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, it's...